Welcome to Gima's Tales for Children. Each week we visit a different part of the world to hear stories, legends, and myths. Some of these stories are so old that the origin has been lost in time. Some are new, and some are timeless. Join us this week as we travel to the Bahamas. The Bahamas consists of 700 islands, and very few people live there. If you multiplied the number by 10, you still wouldn't even come close to the population of the entire state of Oregon. English and Creole are the two languages spoken here, and some of the stories you'll hear today have some Creole dialogue in them. The Bahamas were originally inhabited by the Arawak Indians. Pirates lived here in olden times as well. Today, most of the people who live here are descendants of African slaves. It has been an independent nation since 1973, and the flamingo is the national bird. For further information on the internet about the Bahamas for children, I suggest www.easyscienceforkids.com. The Bahamas were, sadly, a place where slaves were brought to the New World. Many stories came from Africa with them, including this one about Anansi, the spider. The spider holds a very special place in the legends of the Bahamas, and you'll learn why in the last story I am telling today. Many of the stories that were told over the years are written down using the language of the Bahamas, which is English, but with a bit of a twist, as you'll hear. Also, there are a lot of superstitions associated with the telling of stories, so it's important for the reader at the end to always say something so as to make sure that no bad luck follows them. Listen for what that is at the end of this one. Here is Anansi the Spider and the Magic Pot. Once upon a time, there was a great famine in the land. People could hardly find anything to eat. Anansi and his family were starving. One day, Anansi was walking in the forest and his foot kicked over a pot, which was just lying on the ground. "What a pretty little pot!" Anansi exclaimed. "Don't call me Pretty Pot," the pot replied. "So what must I call you?" asked Anansi. "Call me Don't Make Me See." Anansi feel kind of foolish, but since him never had nothing better to do, him call out, "Don't Make Me See." Immediately, the pot began to cook up a delicious dinner of chicken and rice and peas. The smell nearly killed Anansi, who was very hungry. Him eat and eat till him nearly fairly burst. But as he was about to wash out the pot in the nearby river, the pot shouted, "No, no, you must never wash me. Leave me same way you find me." So Anansi turned down the pot and hid it under some leaves and went home with a big belly full. When he reached home, his wife and children eagerly asked him if he had brought any food. He gave them two little wingy bananas he had found in the bushes and didn't tell them his secret. Next day, Anansi returned to where he had found the pot. To his great delight, it was still there, so he quickly said, "Don't make me see," and the pot boiled up another delicious dinner, yam and saltfish and mackerel and green bananas. Anansi had a feast. Every day Anansi eat him belly full, but him never share the secret with him family. However, Anansi's wife soon began to notice that her husband seemed to be getting quite round, and him was looking very well fed in the midst of the famine. She couldn't understand this because, nowadays, he never bothered to take any portion of the meager food they could find for the family. He always generously declined to eat anything at home. So one day, she decided to follow him when he left the home. She follow Anansi and see when him take out the pot, and she hear him say, "Do make me see," and her eyes nearly pop out of her head when she see the big pot of food the pot boil up. Anansi sit down and eat it all off, licked his lips and turned down the pot and covered it over with leaves. As soon as he left, Mrs. Anansi wasted no time. She ran home and fetched her starving children. Then she turned over the pot and said, "Don't make me see," just as she had heard Anansi say it. The children were overjoyed as the food bubbled up in the pot. Ackee and saltfish, dumpling and yam and cocoa, fried chicken. Food them never see for a very long time. Them eat and eat until there was nothing left. Now, Mrs. Anansi is a very tidy lady, so when the food finish, She take the pot down to the riverside, and even though the pot tell her not to wash it, she still give it a good wash, and then she put it back where Anansi leave it. Next day, Anansi arrive, turn over the magic pot, and say, "Don't make me see." Nothing happen. "Don't make me see," Anansi shouted over and over, but the pot remained quiet. Then he examined it and discovered that it was quite clean. He quickly realized that somebody had found out his secret, but had washed out the pot and washed away his luck. He was very vexed. He ranted and raved through the woods, and as he walked along, kicking everything out of his path, he stumbled on a whip. "What a pretty little whip," he exclaimed. "Don't call me a pretty whip," the whip said. "So what I must call you?" Anansi asked. "Call me Don't Make Me See," the whip replied. So Anansi, thinking he would get more good fortune, cried out, "Don't make me see." Immediately the whip set upon him and gave him a good beating. Anansi plenty vexed now, but him see a way to get him revenge against the person who wash out him magic pot. All along him had a suspicion that it was him wife. So him go home and announce how him find a present in the forest, but him have to hide it cause somebody might want to take it away. Mrs. Anansi, she just as greedy as Anansi, so she hide and follow him and see where him hide the whip. But Anansi never do anything, him just look pon the whip and go away. Mrs. Anansi, she came out of hiding and take up the whip. "What a pretty little whip," she said. "Don't call me a pretty whip," said the whip. "So what I must call you?" Mrs. Anansi asked. "Call me Don't Make Me See." So Mrs. Anansi, she say, "Don't make me see." The whip turn pon her and give her one piece of beating, and Anansi, who was nearby, laugh and laugh till him side nearly split. Gima, me no choose none. Here's one more story about Anansi, but this one doesn't have any bad luck associated with the telling, but it does have a moral. Here is Anansi and the Turtle. Once there lived a spider called Anansi. He was a very greedy spider and did not like sharing any of his things with others. One day he collected some lovely yams from his garden and cooked them with utmost care. The delicious smell of the yams made Anansi hungrier. He somehow managed to wait till lunchtime. Just as he sat down to consume his delicious meal, he heard a knock at his door. Anansi was irritated and opened the door hurriedly. It was the turtle standing at the door. He had been traveling for a very long time and looked very tired and hungry.
"Hello, Anansi. What are you cooking? I can smell something really delicious," the turtle said.
"Oh, I've cooked up some yams for lunch," Anansi said reluctantly.
"Oh, can I please stay for lunch? I am hungry and tired of all the traveling," the turtle said.
Anansi was not willing to share his food with the turtle, but it was a custom in the country to share food with visitors who came during lunch or dinner hours, so Anansi could not refuse. Nevertheless, he was determined not to share his delicious yams with the turtle. "Please have a seat and enjoy your meal," Anansi said to the turtle. Both of them sat on the chairs. The turtle was about to help himself to a share of the yam when Anansi suddenly stopped him. "Don't you know that you must clean your hands before you touch your meal? Please wash your hands before you eat," Anansi instructed the turtle. The turtle took a look at his hands and saw that they were full of dirt, as he had been walking for a very long time. He went to a nearby river and returned after washing his hands. Anansi had already started his meal. "Oh, the yams were getting really cold, so I started my lunch. Please join me now," Anansi said. However, even this time, when the turtle reached for his meal, Anansi stopped him by giving him the same reason. The poor turtle saw that his hands had indeed become dirty once again as he walked back from the river to the house. Turtle was very hungry and tired by now, but he still went back to the river to wash his hands. This time he was determined not to let his hands get dirty. He was careful and walked only on the grass to keep his hands clean. But by the time he reached the table, Anansi had already finished all the food, except for a morsel that was spared for the turtle. The turtle was angry and humiliated. Thank you for the lovely lunch. I would like to invite you over to my place for a meal someday, the turtle said and left. A few days had passed, and Anansi started thinking about the turtle's invitation. He was tempted to go for a sumptuous meal at the turtle's place. After all, he knew that the turtle was an amazing cook. One day he went to the bank of the river under which the turtle had his house and stood there at dinner time. The turtle saw him and said, "Hello, Anansi, thank you for coming. Please have dinner with me." The turtle invited Anansi inside his house, which was underwater. Anansi could not wait any longer and quickly dived into the water, but alas, he was too light and could not swim deep into the water. Meanwhile, the turtle was ready with a delicious spread. Anansi tried every possible measure to go under the river. He tried a running jump, a belly flop, and a high dive, but could not go beneath the surface of the water. Anansi started thinking hard and finally decided to pick up some rocks and put them in the pockets of his jacket. His plan was successful, and this time Anansi reached straight to the turtle's house after diving underwater. Anansi was impressed to see the delicious spread and was about to dig into the first bite when the turtle stopped him. "Dear Anansi, kindly remove your jacket before you touch the food. In our custom, we do not eat with our jackets on," the turtle said. Anansi saw that even the turtle was not wearing his jacket. Anansi removed his jacket, which was full of rocks and pebbles, and within no time he went rushing up to the surface of the water. Anansi could see the turtle slowly consuming the lovely meal. Anansi felt sad and slowly climbed out of the water. Moral of the story? Never try to outsmart someone. You may find that you yourself are the one to be outsmarted. In this next story, you'll hear the word briar. It means brother in Creole. Here is a short little tale entitled Briar Dog and Briar Goat. Once upon a time, Briar Tiger and Mrs. Tiger invited all the creatures in the world to come to a party, but only Briar Dog and Briar Goat came. They had one bad plan, Mon, and that plan was to eat whoever show up. So now Miss Tiger and Briar Tiger wanted them all to eat. So Mrs. Tiger and Briar Dog began to dance together. Briar Tiger began to sing, "Push him in the room door, oh my wife." Briar Dog switched his tail round and Miss Tiger could not get him in. So Briar Dog sing this time and Miss Tiger and Briar Goat dance. So Briar Dog sing, "The man who can't run better go before they finish up their plan." So Briar Goat ran away and went to the side of the river until Briar Dog came. So Briar Dog said, "I'm going, Mrs. Tiger and Briar Tiger." They asked, "You going already?" He said, "Yes." So they waited until he got a little way and they started behind him. So Briar Dog went and covered up Briar Goat, only leaving his horn and his hind feet out. So Briar Dog swam across in time. So Briar Tiger, he said, "Come here, Briar Dog. I got something to tell you good." Min, Briar Tiger, got nothing for him. Just want to eat him. So Briar Dog said, "Throw me that log side your feet so I can swim over on it." So Briar Tiger threw it to him. In vain, it was Briar Goat. Briar Dog just laughed and said, "One time you had your fortune in your hand, but you lose it." Another short story through the generations is about a snake and a tree. Quite an unusual tree that would be a nice thing to know about if you ever ran into a snake, but it has no listing at all on the internet. Try to look it up and you won't find it. You'll have to go to the Bahamas to find the tree. Here is the snake and the gum malimi tree. One day, the snake climbed up the gum malimi tree to take a nap. As soon as he went to sleep, he fell out of the tree and sprained his back. He was very angry, for he believed that the tree deliberately threw him out, so he cursed the tree. The tree tried to explain, but the snake wouldn't listen. He kept on cursing the tree. So the tree got mad, too, and told the snake, "Well, if you want to believe I hurt purposely, do so. And since you argued with me about it, I'm going to be hard on you and your children." So that is why no snake will climb the gum malimi tree. And since the snake made the tree so angry, if you touch a snake with a gum malimi twig, it will paralyze him. The next very short story features a sort of pudding called Dunkanoo. Dunkanoo is a cross between cake and pudding, made with cornmeal, coconut, butter, raisins, and spices. Here's a very short tale called Why the Dog Has a Small Waist. Once, Briar Anansi cooked some Dunkaroo and wrapped it up in pieces of banana leaves to cool. He went on back into the house. The dog sneaked up and swallowed 5 of the Dunkaroo and was about to swallow all when Briar Anansi came out and caught him. He grabbed Briar Dog around the waist and squeezed 3 of the Dunkaroo out of Briar Dog, and that left that sunken space in his flanks. That is why dogs have neat waists. This next story is a Bahamian version of an even older story told in Scandinavia. How it got to the islands, no one knows. Here is The Three Sons. There was a man. He had 3 sons. One day, he sent the eldest out into the woods to feed the goat, and the son looked for the greenest place to feed the goat, and when he was ready to go home, he asked the goat, have he had sufficient, and the goat said, I had enough till I can hardly pull. When the goat went home, the father asked the son if he'd give the goat a plenty of food, and the son said, yes, I have give it plenty. And the father asked the goat he have enough, and the goat said, I hadn't hardly anything. He beat that son out and drove him away. And the next day he sent the other son, and the goat, and the son looked for the greenest place to feed the goat. And when he was going home, he asked the goat if he had sufficient, and the goat said, I had enough till I hardly could pull. When the son went home, the father asked if he'd give plenty, and he said, I had hardly anything. And he beat that son, and he stoned him away. The next day he sent the last son, and when the son went and looked for the best spot he could find, and when he was going home, he asked the goat if he had sufficient, and the goat said, I had enough till I hardly can pull. When the goat got home, the father asked the goat had he had enough, and the goat said, I hardly had anything. So he stoned that son out too. And the next day, the father went and looked for the best place, and when he was going home, he asked the goat if he had sufficient, and the goat said, I had enough till I hardly can pull. And when he got home, he asked the goat had he had enough, and that goat said, I hardly had anything. So he said, you was the cause of my 3 sons not being here today, and he kicked that old goat and sent it away. And the eldest son was coming home then, and the man who was working with him gave him a table, and he said, this is not an ordinary table, just as you say, table be covered, the table will have all kinds of nice food on it. When he come home that night, he stopped at the restaurant, and then he began to eat. He said to the landlord, I could get better food than all of you. Just as he say, table be covered, the daintiest food come on, and everybody wanted some, and he give everybody some. And then after he lodged there that night, while he was asleep, the landlord stole away his table and put his table there. And when he wake up that morning, he didn't notice his table. He just take it up and went on, and when he get home, he told his father, he have got a table can be covered with the best food. Just as I say, table be covered, the best food come on. So he called all the neighbors around. The people was saying, we won't have to eat no dinner at home then. So he said, table be covered, and nothing come on to the table. He was shamed, and the people had to went back without anything. Next day the other son come, and when he was leaving, his master give him a donkey, and he told him, this is not an ordinary donkey. Soon as you say, brickle a brick, piles of gold will come. So he came to the same restaurant. When he get his food, he give the man a piece of gold. The landlord asked the boy where he get it, and he didn't say anything. He went outside and said, brickle a brick, and piles of gold come on the tablecloth. And the landlord was peeping through a hole, and he saw him, and after that, tied his donkey, and that night he went to bed. While he was asleep, the landlord went and stole his donkey and put his donkey in place, and the next morning the son didn't notice the donkey. He went home and told his father about his donkey, and he called all the neighbors around. When the neighbors came on, he said, brickle a brick, and the donkey didn't do anything. And he was so shamed, and he wrote to the youngest brother telling him what the landlord had stole from the 2 brothers. So when the last son was leaving, his master gave him a stick in the sack. He said, this is not an ordinary stick. Just as you say, stick out the sack, it will jump out and beat up your enemies. And when he came, the landlord was watching this bag. When he went to bed, the youngest son played sleep. The landlord went and take the bag away, and the boy get up and say, "Stick out de sack," and the stick jumped out and beat up the man. He had to plead for mercy. Then he say, "Stick in de bag. If you promise to give me 2 things you stole from my brothers, I'll have mercy on you." And the landlord, he promised him that he will give him back the table and the donkey, and he gave it to him. And so the youngest son went home with all to his father and brothers, and the father said, "At last I have my 3 sons back. Biddy, 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 my story is ended." We'll end our stories today with another story about Anansi the spider. This one tells how it all began. Here is how Anansi came to the New World. Anansi walked for many miles into the bush until he came upon some fresh tracks of a warthog. He followed the tracks deep into the grassland. Sometime later, he saw signs which indicated that the warthog was not too far away. His mouth began to water. His stomach started to grumble. He dreamed of sinking his teeth into juicy roasted meat. Upon reaching a patch of tall grass, Anansi saw the warthog lying on its side. The warthog had been killed by someone else. However, there was nobody around to claim it. "Ah, I wonder who was so kind to leave this meat for me. Maybe it was my father, Niami, the sky god. Niami must have seen that his son was tired and hungry," Anansi thought to himself. "He took pity on me and struck the beast down with his lightning so that I would not have to do the hard work of killing it. I must thank Niami," Anansi said. Without giving thanks to Niami, he quickly picked up some dry sticks and made a fire. Soon the warthog was roasting. Before the roasted meat had time to cool, Anansi began to eat. He did not stop eating until he had eaten almost all of the meat, except for a piece of the foot. Suddenly, Osebo the leopard appeared out of the bushes, carrying some firewood, a large gourd filled with water, and a cooking pot. He looked around for the warthog that he had killed. It was gone. However, in its place was Anansi the spider, stuffed and pleased. With a growl, Osebo charged toward Anansi, but Anansi was quicker. With his 8 legs, he ran as fast as he could into the village and into the hut of the medicine woman. He jumped right into her medicine bag, which was around her neck. Poor Anansi. He didn't notice that she had her hands and feet bound and could not move. That woman was a slave, and she was marched straight into a ship bound for the Spanish Americas. Oh, poor Anansi. Now he was on the great ocean. He called to his father, the sky god, Niami. He prayed, "Please return me to my home." But Niami had another plan for Anansi. "I am sending you somewhere, Anansi, but not back home. You must go with these captives to the place called the New World," Niami said.
"But Niami, these people are slaves. I do not have anything to do with them being here. They were the ones who brought me here. It is their misfortune to fall into the hands of the slave traders. Oh, Niami, punish the people who deal in slavery, but send me back to my people," Anansi pleaded. Anansi was not sent back home. Instead, he ended up in the New World. The first thing he did when they landed was jump off the boat and run into the forest. There he lived for many days, watching as the people who had come with him on the big ships went to farms and started to work in the field. Anansi thought about what the sky god Niami had said. He was to stay here, but why? There must be a reason. One day, when the people had left the field, Anansi slipped out of the forest and walked through the vegetables. Such fine vegetables they were. Anansi's mouth watered. He took a few yams and made a nice meal. Then he noticed that there were a lot of little green bugs all over the leaves of lettuce, so Anansi ate them as well. The next day, Anansi waited until the people left the field and again slipped out of the forest and walked through the vegetables. He took some fine carrots and ate them for his meal. He saw some little black beetles there, munching away on the cabbages, so Anansi ate those as well. At night, Anansi would get cold in the forest, so he decided to go into some of the huts of the people. There it was much warmer, and he curled himself up under some blankets and made a soft little bed for himself. All of a sudden, he heard a high buzzing sound. It was mosquitoes. Now, Anansi loved nothing better than fine fat mosquitoes, so he jumped out of bed and ate all of them up. Then he went back to bed.
Anansi was getting fat on all the good food that was in the New World. He was starting to like this place very much. The next day was cold like the last, so Anansi decided to climb into another hut. There he made himself another nice bed and went to sleep. And in the middle of the night, what should happen but a whole lot of mosquitoes came right in the windows. Anansi jumped out of bed and made a good meal of them in no time at all. Soon, Anansi wasn't even interested anymore in yams or carrots. He just liked to eat all of the fine fat bugs that lived in the New World. He didn't even miss the fine warthog which Osebo the leopard had caught and which he had eaten so long ago back in Africa. So one fine day, after eating all he could of the little bugs in the vegetable patches, Anansi climbed a big tree and went all the way to the top. There he made sure to say the proper prayer and turned his face upwards to the sky. "O Niame Sky God, I have come to thank you for all you've done for me," said Anansi. "I now understand that I am supposed to be here in the New World. Thank you, Niame." Niame heard Anansi and was greatly pleased. "That is good of you to be thankful, Anansi, and because you have thanked me, I will give you a family and many children." It was very soon thereafter that Mrs. Anansi arrived from Africa. Niame the Sky God made sure that she was on the very next ship. So Anansi and Mrs. Anansi had many children in the New World, and their children had children, and so on. Over the years, Anansi and then all of his children did many things for the slaves. They made sure that no flies or mosquitoes were ever in their homes. They helped keep the bugs off of the vegetables they grew. And eventually, he and all of his children became known as the Comforter of the Enslaved, which is why there are so many stories about Anansi the spider in the Bahamas. For indeed, he was one of the first to arrive and has helped the people there ever since. So we've come to the end of our time together today. If you have a story you'd like to hear, please feel free to write me with your request. If you've written a children's story and would like to share it, let me know as well. I welcome your feedback. You can email me at guima@kciw.org. That's guima@kciw.org. See you next week. Same time, same place, but very different stories. We'll travel to another set of islands in the Atlantic, the Azores. Part of the country of Portugal, these islands are famous for fishing. The Portuguese are accomplished sailors and were some of the first explorers who mapped routes to Africa, India, and the New World. But perhaps the most intriguing legend from the Azores is of Atlantis. It is believed to this day by those who live there that these islands are the last remnants of the lost continent. This is Guima saying goodbye and happy reading.